We're going to talk today mostly about Tchumen, but we'll talk in general about Erevin first. Because when I came to Chicago, I understood that one of my responsibilities was to check into the Erevin in the city, because there's a mitzvah that one is supposed to be Misakin Eruvin. One is a rav in the city that I'm sure you've spoken about. It's the Gemara, derived from the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Zayin Rebeis. This is going over to Samach Esam and Aleph. The Meiser of Abaye and Rabba, that there was a bris that needed to be performed, and the hot water got spilled, and they needed to figure out how to get new water, but it was no Shitufei Mevuos, there was no Erevei Chatzeros, so they had to figure out what to do. Then after the whole Meiser, Rabba Baruch Hanan turned to Abaye, and he said, how come you and Rabba are in town, and you didn't arrange that there would be a Shitufei Mevuos, there would be Erevei Chatzeros, what's going on over here? So he gave an explanation that it was beneath Rabba's dignity and he was too busy with his learning, but there was some sort of explanation. But the Mordechai on that Gemara, Simon Tovkuf Tezvav, says that we see from here mitzvah la'arev, that there's a mitzvah that the Rabbanim of the town are supposed to ensure that there is an Erev, the Laisli Deisura, so that the people won't just commit Isurim by carrying improperly. It's a famous Shuvas Harosh in Klal Chof Aleph, Simen Ches, where the Rosh chastises a particular rabbi who refused to make an Erev in town, and he was speaking about what we would call contemporary Erev, an Erev with Tzuras HaPesach and so forth. This Rav didn't want to rely on whatever kulos and possible svaros are out there in order to make a workable Erev for the town. So the Rosh said, I'm putting you in, if you don't correct the situation immediately, I'm putting you benidot, I'm going to put you in chayrim, and if this had been this Manas Sanhedrin, I would have killed you. So that's pretty strong language. So I figured, okay, I better check the Erev in a situation in town. Well, what the Mordechai and the Rosh don't say is that it's not only a mitzvah to make an Erev, but you should make a kosher Erev. The Chazon Ish, I think, is famous for having said that he never discovered a pasul mikvah, he never discovered a kosher Erev. That it's very hard to build a mikvah in such a way between the Boizriya, Bor HaShaka, and all the different chumos, Bor Gabi Bor, that we make nowadays. It's very, very difficult to design a mikvah that's not going to be kosher, but in terms of an Erev, it's very, very difficult. And therefore, even the towns that we know to be like the really heiliger towns, where you assume everything is in order, sometimes there's like an imaginary Erev, where everybody just assumes that since we're so holy in this year, that it has to be that there's a kosher Erev. But without mentioning names of towns and cities, I mean, those who are the mumkin and Erev, you know that some of the biggest problems in recent years were towns which had the most Talmidei Chachamim. So I figured I'll look into the Erev situation in town. So I'm not casting any aspersions, but it's almost a given that if you're going to check out an Erev, there will be problems. And somebody wrote a whole book in which they sailed the Erev that's in Skokie in the Chicago area. We have a couple of Erevin. So the Skokie Erev was built as kind of like a Rube Goldberg contraption, just like relies on a little of this, a little of that. Kind of works through a combination of lots and lots of different kulos that were being relied upon. And I checked it for myself, and I went around with the different rabbanim at the time and identified many, many issues. So I'll just share some of the issues, and I only identify it because the rabbanim there are really elocha, stand-up people, and they've been working tirelessly over the last couple of years to upgrade the Eruv in every single possible fashion, so it should be L'shem L'sivaris. And we've worked closely with Rabbis Francis and Glenner, who of course wrote the recent book on the subject, one of the best books written on contemporary Hilchos Eruvin. I'm sure that you've, in addition to your other Svarim, you've taken a look at that book too. Or maybe you have, but if you haven't, I highly recommend it. So they happen to live in the Chicago area, so we also utilize their expertise. And some of the things that we found, a lot of openings here and there that appear to be Dalet Tvachim, whatever, where we don't like to rely solely on Amen Meruba al Aparetz. There's the Chumrah of the Magen Avraham, Simen Shin Samachay, that if you have an area where it's a Rabim Bakuba, that Bakuba Rabim, that it's frequently like an area where people are constantly going back and forth, you should be machmir even for pirtsa for tvachim. And even with respect to the pirtsa of yasser meyasser, that we're very, very careful, obviously, not to have a pirtsa of more than 10 amos in any particular place. I discovered that there was one stretch along the east side, not the west side of the Erev, going from south to north, where there had been a reliance upon tel hamislakid or various fences along the side of the road. And then at every single corner, when they had to cross over the streets going from east to west, as we were going along that boundary, along the western boundary of the Erev, every time there was a street. So then they relied on poles and Suras HaPesach to get from one side to the next side, but the poles weren't right next to the tel hamislakid, right next to the fence. Sometimes the poles were at a very significant distance away. So I was told that the previous Rav, who had been Maksha the Erev, relied on the fact that there's less than 10 amos away. Well, I mean, just barely, maybe less than 10 amos away, depending on how you measure the 10 amos, but it's not even so clear. We say that you can't have any kind of a pirtza if it's Bekeren Zabis. So there's a little discussion among contemporary poskim. Let's say that I have one direction of the Eruv, which I'm going in a straight line, so it's not technically the Keren Zabis of the Eruv, but I have an interruption, and then instead of continuing the Eruv along the very same straight line, you continue it like a little bit in a diagonal direction. So some say that creates a new corner, and that could be considered to be a Keren Zavis. This wasn't a straight line. It was a little bit in a diagonal direction, so I couldn't believe it. Even with respect to the tail hamislakeit, it's not always pashut that when you have a long area, like a hilly area, which is a tail hamislakeit, that it's going to be a tail hamislakeit for the entire duration. It might be that a large part of it will be a tel hamislakeit, that it'll go up 10 tefachim within 4 amos, but some of the area might be a tel hamislakeit. You have to really check every single inch and every single foot that along the stretch. There might be areas that do not qualify as tel hamislakeit. You can't do it based on your eye vision alone. Also, another thing that happens a lot with contemporary Erevin is that there are lechis that are placed on telephone poles, for example, on the side of telephone poles, so that they'll be directly underneath the wire. And over time, the pole shifts and the ground shifts, especially when you have lots of snowstorms and the like you do in the Chicago area. And what used to be within 3 tefachim from the ground is no longer within 3 tefachim from the ground, and you don't have lavud. So these things also have to be measured all the time. And very often with the poles that we have nowadays, they're not completely straight up. They're very often curved, or they get curved over time. Even the wind sometimes pushes poles in different directions. So when you have a lechi that doesn't go all the way up to the top of the wire, and you have a curved pole, the very top of the lechi should be right directly underneath the pole, and that's not always the case either. So you have to be very, very careful about that. So one of the words that I learned in terms of the contemporary construction of Erevin is U-guard. Put on the U-guard, which is a special type of contraption where you have a lechi that goes up very, very high, and so you can get it all the way. It's like you affix it to the side of the pole, and you're able to affix it to go almost directly underneath the wire, so that you're able to ensure that it be directly underneath the wire. Another thing that we discovered is why I called it a Goldberg contraption. Again, this is not impugning anybody. It's just kind of like what we found. It would be the Rabbanim were misaking everything. They're really an incredible Rabbanim in town, and a tremendous Yorei Shemayim. That's why they went along with this project. But one of the things that we found was that we couldn't always tell which wire was the Tzuras HaPesach. Sometimes you have between two poles, you have 8, 10, 15, 20 wires. And it's like a good guessing game, you know, maybe like a good school project for children. Can you guess which one of these wires is the Tzuras HaPesach? where you have to kind of lay your eye on, you know, the one that's going to, you know, definitely be the one that travels from atop of the lechi from one pole to directly atop of the lechi of the other pole. So it was unbelievable. So this is a question, actually. It's discussed in some of the poskim, the Dovid Mishon and the Beis Shlomo discuss the question. Tzuras HaPesach has to be in the manner of a normal doorway. A normal doorway, you know what the lintel is. You know where the doorpost is. You know where the lintel is. You can identify it. So if you can't identify it, that could be a problem. The Beis Shlomo is makel about this issue, but we felt that there should be some work done so that we could properly identify exactly which of the wires was intended to serve as the Tzuras HaPesach. Make sure that it really worked. And of course, we try to be machmir for the sheets of the Bechor Shur, famous sheet of the Bechor Shur, Ne'er Bin Daf Yud Aleph, just like in a mavoi, the lechi shouldn't be more than gimel tvachim away from any mechitza. So the lechi shouldn't be more than three tvachim away. So that also we have to fix it a number of places. A lot of different issues that you discover. This is besides the obvious issues that whether or not you're going to be someich on a tzuras hapesek that passes over a reshus hayachid. So we had a little of that too. Those are kind of it's a sheet of the nesivas that should be avoided at all costs. So we're masaking those things as well, but just even the basic things. If you have a lechi which is more than gimel tvachim from the ground, so you don't have a lechi. You have a lechi which is not directly underneath the wire. You have a tzuras hapesach min hatzad, so you don't have an erev. You pashut don't have an erev. So one thing that's very important in terms of contemporary erev, no matter where you live, you have to make sure, ideally, that the mechitzos, the tzuras hapesach, that everything is very straightforward. That you don't have like a million different things that you're relying upon. But if it's not straightforward, like in the West Rogers Park area, with most of the sides is either completely a fence because it's next to a train station, so you have a fence that completely surrounds it, and they're not allowed to tamper with the fence. You know that that's pretty secure. You have very good talim mislakets. You have a mechitza which are very, very secure and that you could rely upon. And there isn't that much that has to be checked. But if you happen to have it, it's a mitzvah to make an error. But if you happen to have an Eruv, which relies upon a combination of many different things, and it goes in and it goes out, and there's construction in the area, which sometimes you thought that there was a Tzuras HaPesach directly on top of a lechi, but it turns out that was 6 months ago. But since then, they've moved the pole, and things of that sort. So you have to constantly be involved in diligence. It requires, I never understood the notion of Erevin, where you have somebody who's dispatched and they just kind of like drive around in a car and they look, oh yeah, I think the Erevin is, I don't understand that. It requires people really going around and checking every single nook and cranny. So this is a real obligation. So the obligation isn't to say I'm not going to do an Erev, but the obligation is also not to do an Erev and pretend that there's a good Erev when when nobody's really checking on it. There's an obligation to make sure that there's an Erev and that it's properly properly maintained and properly installed in the first place. So one other thing that came to my attention when I moved into the area was an issue with respect to the tichumen. And I guess this came up more when my oldest son started going to Skokie Yeshiva, and that is that there's a west side of town and there's an east side of town. You go so on the eastern side of town, actually that mechitza I told you before was on the eastern side of town. So on the eastern side of town, that's where West Rogers Park is. It's called West Rogers Park, which is on the eastern side of town. If you go more eastern, it's called East Rogers Park. But if you go all the way to the west, so there's a highway. It's called Eden's Highway. And the highway divides it's a very, very large division between the two sides of the town, more than what we would call the Karfeif, the Ibur Shalir, more than when we talk about Tuchumen. So Tuchumen, you have the city where you're allowed to walk within the city. And then the Mishnah says that we give the city some machlokis, whether we give this to every city or this is only if two cities that are joined together, machlokis or Yimei and the Chachamim daf in Zion. But we paschal like the Ramah, so we paschal like Rabbi Meir, that we give every single city a Karfeif, which is we give it, this is all based on the dimensions of the Chatzar Mishkan, which were 5,000 amos, that's 70 and two-thirds times 70 and two-thirds. So we give 70 and two-thirds amos at the end of every single city. And then there's the Tuchum. Then a person, once you get past the Karpet, you can walk 2,000 amos. So how do you define a city? So that's a whole big discussion. How you define a city? You need three chatzeres, which each have two batim, batei areya chatzeros, that you have to have three chatzeres, two batim each chatzer. Do we have it nowadays? I mean, nowadays we define in terms of wherever there's 100 people who live in a city. All right. We assume that our cities qualify as cities one way or another, but it doesn't mean that just because that on the map something is called a city, that means that whatever is defined from a municipal perspective as a city is defined by us as a city. There has to be this critical mass of where you have buildings that are next to each other. It could be apartment buildings. You have first floors of apartment buildings. Maybe that's a chatzir. You have batim apartments that open up to it. But then all of the other houses have to be within this contiguous space of that you can't have more than a certain distance. If I have two cities that are apart from each other, and each one has its karfeves, so that the distance between them is 100 is less than 100, is 101 and a third amos or less, so then you can combine the two cities. So if you're able to combine the two cities that way, how much is 101 amos? So something about 250 feet, something like that. If you have 250 feet between each residential structure, it could be any kind of, it could be a base otzros. I mean, we have a list of different types of things that qualify as residential structures. If you have anything that meets the bare minimum, then, or it could be huts where people temporarily sojourn, right? That's the case of Borgenin. Mm-hmm. We don't have so many Borgenin nowadays, but we rely on Borgenin all the time. With Paskin, Halachin, Orach Chaim, Simin Shin Zayin, right? You want to talk about what you're going to do next week, so you're not allowed to talk about Malachos. Let's say you want to talk, I'm going to go to Washington, D.C. next week. I'm going to go to Florida next week. Go to Florida next week. You can't do that on Shabbos. The only way you can get there is, I don't know, driving, airplane, whatever. So, no, maybe you can walk there. Now, what do you mean you can walk there? It'll be outside the tzkum. No, it's possible that maybe between now and then they'll build a little Borgenin. There'll be huts every 70 and two-thirds Amos. Somebody's going to build Borgenin. So you're allowed to say, I'm going to go to Florida this week. It's a halakha mefereshes in Shulchan Aruch. But generally speaking, we don't have Borgenin. But we have other types of homes. So you have to make sure, in order for the city to be contiguous, that you have residential homes that are not more than 101 and one-third Amos away from each other, in order for the city to be continued. But in Chicago, when you get up to the Edens Highway, so you have a huge gap. You have a gap of more than 250 amos between the eastern side and between the western side. And Skokie Yeshiva is on the western side. So it creates the problem, what if somebody wants to go from on Shabbos or on Yantif? It's Chumin is on both on Shabbos and Yantif. What if somebody wants to go from the eastern side across the highway and they want to walk to Skokie Yeshiva? They want to visit their son. It's there for Shabbos. Or somebody's Skokie Yeshiva and they're there for Shabbaton and they get lonely and they want to go back to their family in West Rogers Park in the middle of Shabbos, in the middle of Yontif. This has been the minhag for many years in Chicago, that all of the boys in the high school, they stay over Shavuos, and then in the middle of Shavuos, I forget whether it's the afternoon of the first day, or the afternoon of the second day, they all walk back to town and everybody joins their family for the duration of the Yontif. It's like, you're ready, minhag amakom. This is what everybody does. So are they allowed? Are they allowed? Is that a problem? It's Chumin. That if they have to put down an Erev Tzchum, we're not going to talk about this so much. If the person's 2,000 Amos of the Tzchum comes to a conclusion somewhere, so they could put down at that point, before Shabbos, before Yantar, they can put down an Erev Tzchum and enough for two meals and acquire a Shvis over there, and that gives them another 2,000 Amos. If it's in the middle of the city, so wonderful, so they could walk the entire city. So that's an easy solution. But let's say that they didn't put down an Erev Tzchum. So just in terms of the Tzchum itself, how does it work? So we have this concept
I just have to leave.
Okay, it's a schuss to have you here for as long as you're able to stay. Thank you. It was a schuss to have you here all together. Okay. Okay, call to.
Yesterday, I came to come right. To the doctor. He called me up and we had him.
All right, well. All right, go well for Shlema. Chakoshi was Sameach. Okay, so. In terms of, so the Gemara tells us, this is Erevin Daf Nun Hei. So the Gemara says that we do what's known as, in addition to Ibura Shalir, that's a karfeit, that we give 70 and two-thirds Amos, and then we can connect any two cities that are apart, 141 and one-third Amos. So the Gemara says that we also provide something known as Ribua Shalir. In other words, what's Ribua Shalir? Ribua Shalir is we make a rectangle around the city, that if a city has uneven dimensions, let's say a city is a rectangle, so then we don't have to do anything. Then the city is left to its own devices. its dimensions are its dimensions. However, this is not the, this is a Mishnah, Daf Nun Beis Amud Beis, and then the Gemara spells out a little bit more how this works on Daf Nun Hei Amud Aleph. So if I have a city which has uneven dimensions, so I drew a rectangle or say around, like if I have a city that's like an amoeba, like this over here. So I draw a rectangle around it, and then I start counting the tchum from the rectangle. So that's so that gives me an additional amount of space. So even if a city, let's say, it ends over here, and I have a different city, which is in this area over here, if it's Tochi Bura Shalir, then you're allowed to walk from here to there, not a problem. So that's what you have going from the east side to the west side. If you drew a large rectangle around the dimensions of what I call the east, the Skokie area, the Skokie area east of the Eden's highway, so then that would include Skokie Yeshiva in it. So Skokie Yeshiva would be included in that area, and then you should be able to walk there. That shouldn't be a problem. However, if you draw a rectangle around Skokie Yeshiva and you walk 2,000 amos, so you'll get to like over here. However, most of the people who live in West Rogers Park live all the way over here, so therefore they would be stuck. Presumably, they wouldn't be able to walk past over here. And we would say that it would be okay to go from the east to the west, but it wouldn't be okay to go from the west to the east. And yet everybody goes from the west to the east. So what are they relying upon when they're going from the west to the east? So this is the question that gets asked as to whether we say that if I have, let's say, two different cities that have overlapping rectangles. I have this rectangle over here, and then I have a rectangle that's like over here around where the yeshiva is. So do I say that in such a case, that makes them into two different cities? Just like if I would divide two cities, that there was less than 141 and change amos between them, they would both be considered to be like two cities, and you could traverse, you know, both of them as if they were one city. Do I say the same thing when the cities are really apart? They're more than 141 amos apart, but the rectangles overlap, the Iburim overlap with each other, and believe it or not, there's no clear hachra regarding this particular issue. There's no clear psak that has been codified or has been accepted. And there isn't necessarily even a disagreement along party lines. You find very eminent poskim who say it will go in one direction, other eminent poskim will go in the opposite direction. You know, the same issue occurs with respect to walking from Riverdale to YU. This Riverdale, you have the Bronx over here. You see the Bronx? Okay, and here you have Riverdale, you have Washington Heights. So if you draw your ribua, your rectangle, around Manhattan, okay, so, and then you would count 2,000 amos. Question whether you count the 70 amos as well in this case, that's, we'll get to that. And then you count the 2,000 amos, so that's not going to get you, that's not going to get you to Riverdale. So therefore, there are some who say that, therefore, if you start Shabbos in Washington Heights, you can't walk to Riverdale. You can't walk to Riverdale. However, if you start Shabbos in Riverdale, so then the Riverdale, assuming that somebody has checked it out, that this isn't like five or six different cities, that there's some sort of continuation of houses and buildings and structures along the way, so that you're able to define the city as going down, maybe even to all the way through the Bronx, but at least through this area. So if you draw the ribua around the Riverdale area, so that's going to include Washington Heights. I think it'll actually include Washington Heights, right? It's either includes or it's going to be within the 2000. I think it actually includes it. So if it actually includes Washington Heights, so then you would be able, if you started Shabbos in Riverdale, you were Shabbos in Riverdale, so your city includes the Bibua, the rectangular extension of your city, includes, or the rectangle that surrounds the dimensions of your city, includes Washington Heights, so you could walk from Riverdale to YU, and once you're at YU, since you were Shabbos in Riverdale, so this is your area, so you can go back to Riverdale afterwards. If you started Shabbos in Washington Heights, then according to the one sheet, though, you couldn't go to Riverdale. You started Shabbos in Riverdale. You could go to Washington Heights. You could go back to Riverdale. V'kehena v'kehena rabos. This issue comes up with respect to Tel Aviv and Bnei Brak. This issue in England comes up with respect to Newcastle and Gateshead. So this is discussed by a variety of different poskim. So what are the rayos lekan lekan? So one raya lahakel is brought from the tour. What does the Torah say? So lashon of the Torah, the siman that discusses all of these things about ribua shalir is siman shin sariches in Shulchan Aruch. So the Torah says la'achas shosifu alei l'rabba. So the Torah says that after you have made a ribua shalir, after you've drawn the rectangle around the city, mosifin od alei, then you add more to it. So he says that you add the ibur shalir, you add the extra 72/3 amos. You don't start counting the 2,000 amos that a person's allowed to walk. How much is 2,000 amos? It depends how you define an amma. According to Rav Moshe, it's about 21.3 inches, and according to the Chazon Ish, it's 22.8 inches. So it comes out that it's a little bit less than 3/4, according to both of them. It's more than 2/3 of a mile and less than 3/4 of a mile. Both according to both shittos. If it's 2/3 of a mile, you're okay. And if it's 3/4 of a mile, you're not okay. I once had this issue. I was stranded. Beginning of Shabbos, I was in a bus going home to Muncie when I was much younger. And there was a snowstorm. And I had to get off at a certain point. It was in Woodside Lake, New Jersey. I had to get off. Not that far away from the Rockland County area where Muncie is, but a little bit. I never heard of Woodside Lake at the time, but I had to get off the bus. It was a Port Authority bus. I had to get off. I needed lodging, so I went to the Holiday Inn. It was right before Shkia. And I went to the Holiday Inn, and I had to put all of my stuff in somebody, the trunk of somebody's car. There was another front person there. They had it's like a little commuter parking lot, so he had his car there. So I put all of my stuff in the trunk of his car, and I was walking with nothing on me. So I walked into the Holiday Inn that was right across the street over there. And they said, I'm sorry. I mean, I looked presumably presentable. I had my suit on, my tie. I was coming from work, whatever. But they said, do you have a credit card? Do you have anything? And I said, I don't have anything on me. I'm an Orthodox Jew. Please let me in. And there was a raging blizzard. And they said, no, I'm sorry, we can't take you in. So they threw me out into a raging blizzard. So I asked, where is the next closest hotel? And I was told it's about 2/3 of a mile down the road. So I figured, okay, I did the calculations. That seems to work. So I guess, you know, it's within my tum. So I walked two-thirds of a mile, and I made my way. After Shabbos, somebody picked me up, and I was calculating on the odometer, but it was really 2/3 of a mile. Okay, at the time I thought it was 2/3 of a mile. So I walked the 2/3 of a mile to this hotel. It was the Woodcliff Lake. It was the Woodcliff Lake Hilton. So I walked into the Woodcliff Lake Hilton, and I told them my sob story, and they said, well, do you have any collateral you can give us? So I said, sure. I took off my coat. So they said, is there anything else? I said, you want me to disrobe entirely? I'll give you anything. They said, no, it's good enough. And they let me stay. They let me stay for Shabbos, and they even gave me a special key so that I wouldn't have to worry about the electric doors or anything. They were very, very nice to me. Very nice to me. I made Shabbos over whatever, orange juice and raisin bran. But but what happened subsequently, I always said, I wrote them a very nice thank you letter, but what happened subsequently is that this became this Woodcliff Lake Hilton, became a major hub for firm events, for Aguda conferences, and for OU conferences, RCA conferences. So I said that they were Mekadesh, their hotel, by providing the hospitality. Okay, fine, anyway, I'm digressing. So the Torah says that you give this amount, okay? That before you start counting the 2,000 amos, so what's the lashon? La'acha shel sipo aleh l'rabba mosipin od aleh she'ein maskin limdod miribua miyad mosipin aleh ayin amma v'shirayim u'misham me'elach maskin limdod al payim. So some of the poskim look at the lashon hator, and they say, oh, we see from the lashon hator that the Torah is saying. When we're counting the ribua shalir, which we know that if the ribua shalir is less than 141 amos and change, So then it's going to combine two cities with each other, so they're going to be considered to be one city. So if he's saying that even after I make the rectangle, I'm going to start counting the ribua shel, I'm going to start counting the ibua shel ir, then that means that if I had another rectangle city that was within 141 and a third amos of this other city, I would combine them into two cities. The kol shekein, if I had a city that actually through its own ribua would intersect and overlap with the first city, it's a kal v'chomer. They say from the Torah we have a gaval de garaya that there's room to be mekel. The lashon Torah doesn't make any sense otherwise. The second and the Ramah in Simen Shin Sadi Chesef Hey seems to paskin in the same way. The Ramah seems to paskin the same way. There's the Ramah Sif Hey. Here's where the Ramah has the machlokis about whether we paskin like Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Whether we always supply an Ibura Shalir, even when only dealing with one city, or whether that's only a din of combining two cities. The Ramah paskins l'kula, that we supply it to every single city. And then the Ramah applies a second kula to say that not only would we apply it to even one city, but if that one city had an extra house that extended out 70 amos, we would even give an extra 70 amos beyond that city, which of course leads to the obvious question, what do you mean? If I had a house that extends another 70 amos, I've just extended the city. So what do you mean? I have the city plus I have the extension? No, it is part of the city. So that's a discussion with respect to what exactly that means. It could be the Ramah is talking about a house that has real people in it. So he's talking about a house that, in fact, in Okinami, is going to extend the contours of the city. So that's what the Chazon Ish assumes. The Chazon Ish assumes that the Ramah is not saying I have the city plus I have this house plus I have another 70 amos. No, once I have this house, so then I'm going to extend the rectangle. That's Pashtus. That's Pashtus. Okay. So anyway, but that's not the important part. So then the Ramah continues. And he says the most nechuta of any rokav yer neged abayis machikim misham shivim amar meshiraim umaschilin v'chein. So he says that I draw a chut up in a rokav yer neged abayis. I draw a rectangle around the bias, which is extended out from the city, which means that I'm basically prolonging the city until the very last house in the city, and then I'm going to count another Shivim Amar Mishirayim. So the Ramah seems to be saying that this din of extending the Shivim Amar Mishirayim, in Sifav we have the Mechaber giving us the din that if I have two cities which are then within 141 amos from each other, then this is going to combine. This is going to combine two cities with each other. It's in Sif Zayin that will combine two cities with each other. So therefore, that appears to indicate that the Ramah and the Tur are both supporting the notion that even the Ribua Shalir would enable two cities to be combined, even if the Ribuas are not overlapping with each other. They're just 140 amos away from each other. So kal v'chomer if they're overlapping with each other. Second raya that's for the Hakil is from Rashi and Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph. So that's where we were starting before. Tana Rabbanan. So the Gemara there talks about Ketzen Ha'abim Ha'arim. If you have Agulos in the Zavios, if you have a round city, so you make square corners around them, etc., etc. If you have it's a rechava mitzad echad, a gitzara mitzad acher, so then you view it as if it's all exactly evened out on the sides to make a complete rectangle. So then at the very conclusion of the daf, so the Gemara gives the halacha of ir hasuya kekeshes. If you have a city that's made like a bow, so if between the two parts of the bow is less than 4,000 amos, so then we draw the rectangle, and otherwise we just go in between the sides of the from the top of the rectangle to top of the bow to the bottom of the bow. So then the Gemara asks the question. Well, this is in the that was a halakha from Rav Huna. Mi amar Rav Huna hachi v'hamar Rav Huna chomas. In other words, if I have a bow and I have a pirtza of 4,000 amos, then I'm not going to draw a rectangle. So that's relevant as well. If I have a city which is has a huge gap in between one end and the other end of 4,000 amos or more, so then I'm not going to draw the rectangle. So that's an important exception to those. A whole discussion in the post-gim is a Sefer Tikkun Eruvin on Hilchos Erevin, in which he paskins like 2 days in Tosfos and Daf Nun Hayamid Aleph. He paskins like the second day of Tosfos. It says this isn't only if there's just like one big gap in a boat, but even if there are gaps, there are indentations within the city itself, where I have a huge crevice within the city. So when I draw the rectangle, I don't include that crevice. That also could be relevant to the question in Skokie, that maybe the highway is viewed as a huge crevice, so that when you do the Ribua HaYir, maybe you shouldn't include the highway for that reason. So that's a question. But anyway, so the Gemara asks, if I have a pirsa of 141 and a third, is already... is okay. 141 and a third is okay, if it's not more than that. So it seems according to this what? So then we may consider to the two cities to be together, but if it's more than 141 and a third, so then it's not okay. So why are we saying that it's okay even if it's more than 141 and a third? So Amar Rabba Ba'ula, Lo Kasha Kamruach Achas Kan B'Shtei Ruchos, that if I have a complete split between the two cities, if I ever come up with Mishtei Ruchos, a complete split between the two cities, so then as long as there is a distance of more than 141 and a third amos, so then I'm going to have a problem. But there isn't a complete split. It's like just a bow. This is a bow. Okay, so then, since this part is not completely cut off of the other, so then everything will be considered combined as long as it's less than 4,000 amos. So what is the picture of Kam Mishtei Ruchos? So if you look at the way Rashi explains Mishtei Ruchos, so Rashi explains it like the drawing that I have in the Makor sheets. See the drawing in the Makor sheet in the bottom of the first page? That I have the city one on the right side, I have city number two on the left side, and then I have the parts in between them where there's no overlapping at all, the way that Rashi drew them. So the way that Rashi says, it's not just a question of the drawing. The drawing is in accordance with what Rashi said. So when Rashi said, he says that the two breaks are zu keneged zu. So why did Rashi have to say that it was exactly zu keneged zu? It could have not been zu keneged zu. It could have been like this. So the answer is that if it would have been like this, so then all the houses in between would have been within the ribua shel year, on this side and on that side, and therefore that would have combined the two cities to be together. So we see that Rashi seems to indicate that if I have overlapping, even if this city goes, even if the two cities basically end in terms of the various houses that are in the city, they basically end like right around here, and therefore they would be divided from each other by 141 more than 141 amos, and I wouldn't otherwise combine the cities. But if I was able to have the ribua, I was able to have the rectangle cross over both, so then that would combine the two cities to be together. So this is the raya that the Chazon Ish quotes. The Chazon Ish in Hilchos Erevin, in his Likutim, in Simen Kuf Yud, and Sif Katan Tezayin, so he brings this raya from Rashi, that it would appear from Rashi that we would, that the reason why he has to give the example that it's the Shtei Ruchos, the Pirtza, Zek and Eged Zek, is because otherwise otherwise we would combine the cities by virtue of having their overlapping Iburin. Even if the houses didn't continue straight, I just had a couple of stray houses, so that it wasn't a continuation of the city in either direction, but nonetheless, if the rectangle around the city would cause the two of them to overlap, so that would cause the two cities to be together, and that's why in order for the two cities to be considered to be separated from each other, Rashi had to say that it's a complete cutoff, where there's no overlapping ribua whatsoever. So this would appear to be a raya for that point of view as well. So we have these rayos with respect to being mekel. And the Rambam also in the Pirush HaMishnayos in Nedarim on Nun Vav Amud Beis, the Gemara there in the Mishnah there in Nedarim says that somebody's no dim in a year, he's also likanes biibur. He's not allowed to enter into the ibur shalir, meaning something which is considered to be a chelik of the year. And the Rambam, the Perush of Mishnayos, understands the chelak of the year to include not only the karpet, not only this extra 70 and the 2/3 amos that we could, that we add on to the city, but he also says that he also says hanosaf elo mekomos hanosaf mishinitos ve la medina kishnirba misof abatim ayotz mimena nikra ibor. He says that when the city becomes put in a rectangular shape. So that part of the city that we hit on, for purposes of this halakha, that's considered to be the Ibor. So the Rambam also, in the Perush of Mishnayos, seems to support this notion. Now it happens that the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, when he talks about the idea of Ibor Shalir, for Hilchos Shabbos, so the Rambam doesn't include this notion that the Ibor Shalir includes the Ribua Shalir. This is something that the Rambam only has when it comes to Maseches Nedarim. He doesn't have this otherwise. So some say, well, it doesn't really matter what the Rambam wrote in the Perush of Mishnayos. He didn't write it when it came to Hilchos Shabbos, or it came to the Mishnah Torah. So therefore it's not binding upon us. So that's a question. So what are the rayas, the hachmir, before we get to the Chazon Ish? Because ultimately this all boils down to the Chazon Ish. It doesn't necessarily have to all boil down to the Chazon Ish. The reason it boils down to Chazon Ish is because number one, it's Erevin. So, you know, Chazon Ish, when it comes to Erevin, so everybody looks at what the Chazon Ish has to say, obviously. But the Chazon Ish is, I suppose, sort of the most authoritative shita that kind of brought this into circulation, this whole idea about whether we include overlapping cities or not. And there's also a big confusion about what exactly is the final maskana of the Chazon Ish. So we'll look at that in just a moment. But first, let's look at what are the rayos lahachmir. What are the so the lashon hamiiri in the sugya in Nedarim? In the sugya in Erevin. So when the Meiri talks about this idea of Ibur Shalir, so I think I have that here, right? Where's the base of Bechira? So that's Sifches over here. So the Meiri says that. One second. Ve'apem. Look at the second line of the Meiri, four words before the end of the line. Ve'apem kasu v'dinei akafe shalom limdor kafe ve'lemekir a'ir. That when it comes to the karpeif, he says, the karpeif is never measured from the ribua. He says, that may be respect at this point. I'm going to measure it from the ribua. But otherwise, I'm going to measure the karpeif from every single place where the city actually ends. Because I can't measure a karpeif except from the city itself. And the Meiri seems to imply very clearly that the ribua here is not considered to be the city itself. So that's a major chiddush, because I can only combine two cities together when I say that it's still part of the city itself, only separated by a karpe. So he says this part is not part of the city itself. I can consider it to be combined just because over here I have a just because it's within the ribua. No, where do I calculate the karpe? Shalom alidro karpe velamikir ayir kion yemer abas. It's only if I have a completely rectangular city where the entire city is filled in with houses and so forth, where then I could calculate the karpeif evenly throughout the entire rectangle. But otherwise, I can't do that. But if I have a circular city, one that's not completely rectangular in nature, and I needed to make a rectangle around that city, so that would appear to be a very strong raya in this direction. Okay, in the direction of Hachmir. No, because the Meiri goes out of his way and he says, when the Gemara in Erevin says, Kesen Rabin is a year, so what do you mean Kesen Rabin is a year? If you look at the continuation, the Gemara Nunei, it discusses how to be Merabeas a year. So the Meiri says that the Gemara is low dock, the Gemara is not being precise when it says in that particular case, Kesen Rabin is a year. So the Meiri is very precise. When he says Ibor, he very much means not the Ribua Shalir. He's very clear about that. The Ibor doesn't mean the Ribua Shalir.
Doesn't take on the same din.
Exactly, it doesn't take on the din of the ear. He says it's not considered to be the ear. If I would have another city over here that would be more than 140 amos away, then these two would not combine to be considered to be the same city. Somebody's over here couldn't walk around this city. Somebody's over here couldn't walk around that city. If you're in this city, you can walk to this direction.
But you can walk to this place in the Ribua. That would be okay, to walk within this place in the Ribua. But for purposes of combining cities, that we wouldn't say. You wouldn't be able to walk over here, for example. That's what the Mimi is saying.
Maybe not to go there, but could you go there?
According to the Meiri, Pashas is not. And by the way, the Machmirim, those who take the Machmir stance, once before you get into the nuances of the Chazon Ish, the general assumption is that it works both ways. That we don't say, oh, just because you're over here, you're within the Ribua Shalir, so therefore you get to go over here. Why is that? Because there are three ways I can look at this. I can say that the Ribua Shalir is considered, is only exists for purposes of Tchumim. Okay? That's what most of the Machmirim say. They say it's only with respect to Tchumim. The biggest Shita, or the most famous Shita is Machmir. There was somebody who wrote a Sefer, it's called Kiryas Ariel, or Ariel Buchwald. Ariel Buchwald is the major champion of this Shita, that you should be Machmir. Somebody wrote a long article in Kofet Space Avon Yisrael, I think Shnas Toshin Samach Base, bringing all of the arguments, you know, to be Mekel, Torah, Rashi, etc. They even bring an argument from the Me'iri. Say, from the fact that the Me'iri had to say this, so that shows that really Revu is part of the city. Otherwise, he wouldn't have had to say this altogether. It strikes me as a funny riot. But there are many who take that riot very, very seriously. The Dayan in England, what's the name? The Machazeh Elio. That's Rafok. Rafok in England. So in his Shiles of Chuvas, Machazeh Elio. So he says that not only is there a riot from Rashi, but from the Meiri is a big riot. And the fact that the Meiri had to say this all together, he says, that's a knockout riot. So therefore he says, that's why he thinks his case is Newcastle and Gateshead, where the Ribua of Gateshead goes into Newcastle, the Ribua of Newcastle goes into Gateshead, everything is fighting good. It didn't always, it stopped working that way. At a certain point in time, the Ribuas didn't go into each other. Some of the houses of Newcastle that used to go very, very low stopped going so low, and they stopped around here. So the Ribua of Newcastle no longer went all the way to Gateshead, and the Ribua of Gateshead no longer went into Newcastle. That Newcastle ended over here, and Gateshead ended over here. But he says, no, if I draw a line in terms of where Gateshead ends, and I draw a line in terms of where Newcastle ends, so he says that they're within 100, they're within 70 amos of each other. Since they're within 70 amos of each other, therefore that's less than 141 and a third amos. So he's incredibly makel. There are like different ways you could be makel over here. There are three different ways you could be makel. You could be makel to say that if they're within, even after the Ribua, they're within 141 and a third amos of each other, I'm going to consider them like one city. That's the that's what the Machazeh Elio says. I could be makel to say, well, if the two cities overlap with each other, so then I'm going to treat them as one city, but not if they don't overlap with each other. So then I'll follow the Me'iri and I'll say I don't really give a karfeit, and if they're not touching each other, so that's not going to work. It's only going to work if they're mamish overlapping with each other. Or I can say, well, if they're overlapping with each other, so then anyone who's within the Ribua of the other one, so it's good, they can travel throughout that entire area. But if they're like over here, they're outside of the Ribua, so then they wouldn't be allowed to travel. That's like over here. So anybody over here would be okay, and everybody over here would not be okay. There are three different ways to be Mekel. Three different possible avenues of Kula, as you have correctly surmised. But incredibly, the Machazeh Elio takes the most incredibly Mekel approach over here. So anyway, there are three different ways of looking at it, okay? Three different ways of being Mekel, but there are also three different ways of looking at it. So one way of looking at it is that the Ribua Ha'ir is just an extension for what purposes? For Tum purposes, and that's it. There's no other ramifications. So that's what would be Pashas. That's the way that David Feinstein understands it. That's the way that the Shitos who are Machmir on this issue understand along those lines. The Machmirim include Rabbi Yoshiv was a Machmir on this, Rabbi Nissim Karlitz was a Machmir, Yisrael Belsky Zatzal was a Machmir on this, and the Mekilim either go all the way or they go some of the way. So as we see, some of the Mekilim go all the way, but they'll be Mekel in all three of those situations, and some will not be Mekel in all three, but only in one or two of those situations. But anyway, it depends how you look at it. If you look at it as that it's only a Tchum, so then if it's only a Tchum, it has to mamish be within 141 and a third amos. In other words, we're going to say that this one is not a part of this one is not a part of that one, despite the fact that it's within the same rivuah. It just means that if I'm in town, city A, I can go here. If I'm in city B, I certainly can't go there, okay? So that would be the way we would view it, for example, in terms of YU and Riverdale would be viewed in that light, if we were machmir, right? I could also view it a second way. The second way that I could view it is I can say that this is a din shvisa, that the rivua shalir is a din shvisa. The Chazon Ish in Simen Pei of Hilchos Erevin seems to understand it this way, that namely, what are the halachas that would apply to a shobes besochir? That if I put my eruv over here, my eruv tchume in loasav lo klum. That's number one, right? Because I haven't gotten myself any further. Let's say there's no city over here. It's just a house. So if I put my eruv tchume over here, so I would have been able to count 2,000 amos anyway from the rivua shalir in terms of my own walking, because it's a and now. I can also only count 2,000 amos in the rivua shalir. It doesn't matter whether I was shoveis over here or whether I was shoveis over here. Second way that it would have ramifications is that if I put my eruv in a rivua shalir or somewhere else, let's say I put my eruv tchumen over here, okay, and it was within 2,000 amos, so I'd be allowed on Shabbos to walk through the entire city, even though the rest of the city that's within the rivua might be more than 140 amos away from the place in which I put my eruv. And a third ramification would be the one that you asked about, that if I put my eruv tchumen over, that if I'm shoveis, get eruv tchumen, if I put my, or the same, if I was shoveis over here, then I would be able to walk throughout the entire rivua. So in Simen Pei, that seems to be, if you look in Simen Pei, we won't read through it right now. Simen Pei, Ledaf Nun Hei Amin Aleph, the Chazon Ish, in the first paragraph of the Chayre Nireh is where he first says, oh, you put we, the Chayre Nireh, that since this isn't part of the city, so therefore, if you were shoveis over here, you shouldn't be able to go over there. And then in the end, he says, no, since it's all part of the rivua, if you're shoveis over here, you should be able to go over there. So that's what the Chazon Ish seems to end up saying. If you understood like that shita of the Chazon Ish, so then there's a Talmud Chacham in Chicago who wrote a sefer on this issue of the tchum between Skokie Yeshiva and West Rogers Park, where Mordechai Mullinshek, a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So Mordechai Mullinshek said, so it's mashma, at least from that Chazon Ish, that maybe there's a separate reason to be makel and to say that if I have the rivua shouldn't only work for the people who are coming from the east side of the Eden's Highway to Skokie Yeshiva, but once Skokie Yeshiva is mamish within the rivua of the east side of the highway, so that means that maybe if you were a little bit further west in that neighborhood and you aren't within the rivua, you would be out of luck. But if you're within the rivua, like if you were over here, maybe you'd be out of luck. But if you're over here, so then you should be allowed to travel to the east side of the highway. And the same thing, assuming this has to be investigated, assuming that the rivua of Riverdale actually covers Washington Heights and isn't only, you know, within, say, 2,000 amos of the tchum, if it actually goes within Washington Heights, I'm not sure. It could be it just goes within 2,000 amos of the tchum, but if it actually goes into Washington Heights, so then that would be a svara lahakel, an additional svara lahakel, for somebody who's in YU to be able to travel to Riverdale. I'm not 100% sure in terms of how the rivua plays out, whether it encompasses. Pasha says it does, right? Does anybody know? Pasha says it does. But then that would be an additional reason to be makel, if I understand like the second side, which seems to be at least in Simen Pei, it's not that the Chazon Ish adopts. And then the third, let me just give the my dad, and then the third approach is to say that no, the rivua shalir is considered like the ear itself, like the Rambam seems to indicate in the Parash of Mishnayos and Nedarim, it's considered like the ear itself, and the Torah, it's hard to say that the DC, what Buchwald says, you're going to throw the Torah at him and say, how could you possibly disagree with the Torah and the Ramah? Say, the Torah never said that this idea of throwing out the Karfev is after the Ribua Shalir is sufficient to join two cities together. It could be that there's one din, that if I'm coming out of the city itself, and I have 141 amos to the next city, so that would combine the two cities. But when it comes to extending the tchum of the ribua shalir, the Torah only meant that as a din of tchumin. The Torah never says befeish, neither does the Ramah, that this would be sufficient to join together two cities that were extended to a ribua shalir when they're much more than when the second city is starting off much more than 141 and a third amos from any specific point within the city. It's just within the ribua. They never said that that would. It could be that they're only talking about a din of tchumin. So therefore, he's not rattled at all from the raya from the Torah or the raya from the psak of the Ramah. But if you do understand it this way, so the most lenient approach that you would take is this approach to say that the ribua shalir is considered mamish like the city itself. If I understand it that way, so then you could even be makel in a case where they're not even overlapping, where I have two separate cities, even with the ribua shalir and a distance of less than 141 amos and change between them, like in the case of Newcastle and Gateshead. So those are the three different ways of looking at it. So it could be that in many situations, even if you don't take the most extreme kula to treat it like ribua shalir, but you just take it the second approach to say it's considered as if you're shoveis betocha here, so then there would also be room to be making a lot of the cases, although not this one of Newcastle and Gateshead, but at least in the other cases there might be more room to be making. One of the rayos, he said that Shlomo Miller, what a raya to him that we're making on this issue. What's the raya that he says that we're making on this issue? So the raya that he brings is from the fact that the Jews in Brooklyn always go to the Lower East Side. So since the Jews in Williamsburg are always going to the Lower East Side, surely they wouldn't commit an aveira, so that shows it must be okay. So it's an argument through Maiserav, through Pukazi Mayama Dover. However, Millenshut points out that's not such a good raya because of the Choladeus. That should be mutzi. Even according to the most makrish shita, that should be okay. Because when you do the ribua around Brooklyn, the ribua of Brooklyn includes the Lower East Side. If the raya is that not only do they go to the Lower East Side, but they even, after they're in the Lower East Side, they take a spatzir up to Midtown, so maybe that's the raya. So he said maybe that was the raya. Maybe that they all take a spatzir afterwards. They all walk to Central Park or something. No, but
it's the Torah.
I'm sorry?
It's the Torah. Walking walk all the way from Crown Heights to Riverdale.
Okay, you're bringing a raya from Crown Heights. Okay.
Also in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, so let's take a look. So the Chazon Ish then entertained this possibility. That's in Sifkat Siman Kuf Yud Sifkat and Tezayin. He even drew a little diagram, so I tried to the best of my ability to replicate the diagram of the Chazon Ish. So the Chazon Ish.
Ibur Shalir,
which shows that we're talking about Mamish, the city itself. Ibur Shalir means the city. Ibur Shalir is the extension to the city that everybody agrees is considered part of the city.
Part of the threat.
Right, and the Rambam there seemed to explain that the Ibur Shalir could be Mamish the Ibur Shalir. So that's, wow, that's a powerful Raya Lahakil. The other problem is, nobody else said that, and the Rambam himself, when he was defining Ibur Shel Ir for purposes of Hilchos Shabbos, and never said such a thing. And it could be that Hilchos Shabbos Lachud and Lashon Nedarim Lachud. And so Chaim Kanievsky writes Nachal Eisan. He says that you can't necessarily bring a raya from there because it could be that the Lashon for Nedarim, Lashon B'nei Adam, might be different than for halakhic purposes. So it's not necessarily such a perfect raya. Not only that, but all the other Rishonim, like the Ritva, for example, they kind of, you know, do somersault. They do headstands in order to try to figure out, according to the Shitas Chachamim, that Ibur Shalir doesn't even apply altogether unless I'm trying to combine two cities next to each other. So what does it mean in the context of that Mishnah? And he says, oh, it must mean that there's another house that's a little bit further away, another 70 amos out, and that's what we're talking about. So the obvious kasha is, if Ibur Shalir is identical to Ibur Shalir, meaning that it's also included within the extension of the city, so why didn't the Ritva just give that as a teretz, that even according to the Chachamim, I can say that's what we're talking about. So a book will bring Zaraya from there as well, that we see that the Rishonim did not imagine, the way he puts it really, is that they did not imagine in the wildest dreams that anybody would ever entertain the notion that the Ribua Shalir is actually the Ibur Shalir, that you would combine two cities together because the ribur, so within 140 hours, he says that loyal el adas. He basically uses that lashon that anybody would dream up such an idea. So says the Chazon Ish, he says, so what do we do in this case? He says, Mao shi ibor azeh yaseh shtein ki yirachas. Now what is he talking about? He's talking about the ear pigumen ayotzin the matzina samida kineged and roasting also kmin tavla, and he has kind of that if I have pigumen so that the two cities are not perfect line next to each other, it's because they all have pigumen that causes the rectangles to overlap with each other. And then he quotes from Rashi, and he says, the Mavuar, fourth line, Medive Rashi, Shema Pirzos du Shalokinegishu, if the Pirzos would not be right next to each other, Oshi Yishuv, Bachalo Kinegida Pirzos, Afilu Yeshbein, Besa Makitsio Shalir, Yotir Mikufa Mem Al Pushlish, Hashivi Kiir Achas, so it's clear from Rashi that if they weren't corresponding to each other, but rather one pirza was removed from the other pirza, he wouldn't be able to say they would become treated as two separate cities because they're more than 141 amos apart. Why is that? Because clearly, since their rectangles would overlap, so that would cause them to be one city. And just like the ibor shalayin amos shalutz the ear mitzayif from ma'ir ubeisayaros nasos achas ayde kuf memalaf ushalish. Hakinami, he says, Ibor Shitoka ir kiir damya. And then he draws his diagram, and he says that it would follow that if you had a diagram like the one that I drew over here, and you draw the rectangles, right, you see the gem on one side and the gem on the other side. So he says, in that case, maybe then we would treat it all as one ear. So that's his so that's the argument. But after the Chazon Ish makes this argument, he says that he's not entirely sure if this argument is correct, if he's going to accept it Allah halacha, this particular argument. I think I have the text of the Chazon, the full text of the Chazon Ish here. I didn't duplicate in the materials the full text of the Chazon Ish, so let me just see if I can find it. If I can't, then I'll say it to you outside. So the Chazon Ish goes on to say that it could very well be, here it is, here's the Chazon Ish. So he says, maybe this is not mukhwach. And he has a little parenthesis over here. Umiyu yesh lomar, the kavanas rashi v'atur, dizeh shelo keneged zeh, mixas abatim ha-muvloim, shemachas izeh, v'ibol shemachas izeh, chaberta, yeh lehem beis tchumen. It could be what Rashi means, it's just that these houses that are over here in the overlapping portion, maybe these houses would have the benefit of the tchum in this direction and the tchum that goes in this direction. But we're not necessarily talking about the houses that are all the way over here vis-a-vis this side and the houses that are all the way over here vis-a-vis this side. That it could be that that's all that Rashi was talking about, and that's why he wanted to have a clean cut case where there would be no houses that would have the benefit of being able to have the tchumen of both sides, and that's why he had to have the complete separation. And then he says, lo mashma kein, but it's not necessarily mashma that that's what Rashi was talking about. It's mashma that he would have indicated that the two cities would just be overlapping altogether. Or lo mashma kein might be that it was not mashma from the Gemara that we should allow for that possibility. So v'lo mashma kein itself is subject to two different interpretations, probably. And therefore, this requires further consideration. So that's the big question. What do you do with the Chazon Ish? This requires further consideration. So Buchwald says that if indeed I had a situation like this, where I had the straight houses that are in an overlapping area, so then it's clear, since that's the out, so it's not being very, very makel, that we would only be makel this situation, that certainly you could be makel with respect to the houses that are in the overlapping ribua area. If I have specific houses that are both in the ribua of one city and in the ribua of the other city, so then it seems that the Chazon Ish is prepared to be makel in that particular situation. But otherwise, for example, with respect to what I have over here, which is part of a city that pretend this is a rectangle, that has a part of the city which is outside of the Ribuah altogether, even though the Ribuahs are overlapping, certainly that house, which is not part of the two overlapping Ribuahs, so that would not be considered to be included within what would be mutter for purposes of going into the domain of the other city. So that's the way he leaves it. Others say, if you look two paragraphs down, and the Chazon Ish begins a discussion about something else. He says, "V'hainu v'hadim mitzdafin beis ha'iros the two cities ayidei ha'eruv ha'iruv iburan hainu dafka." This is only, and then he gives you kind of like specifications. So some say that it appears from the lashon, from the fact that the Chazon Ish goes back into the discussion about how the technicalities of how this works, that he really does accept that lemaisa. But others say, and this, Rav Chaim Kanievsky points this out as well in the Shona Halachos, that and he would know that the Chazon Ish added the bracketed parts of his commentary after he finished everything else. So even if they appear in the text before he entertains a separate notion, it doesn't mean that the separate notion was written afterwards. This is the latest in time thing. Anything that's in the brackets is the latest in time. And since the Chazon Ish says v'dorot sarachechre, therefore one really can't be mekel. Not only that, but there's a mamash araya, a ma'isa listor, with respect to any notion that the Chazon Ish was mekel about that, and that is a letter in the Ksav Yad. You look in the Kiryas Ariel Perek Bav, and he reproduces a letter in the Ksav Yad. It's not signed in the name of the Chazon Ish, it's signed on behalf of the Bezdin of Tel Aviv, I think. But it's a letter in the Ksav Yad of the Chazon Ish, in which the Chazon Ish said that for those people who lived in Montefiore, there's a neighborhood called Montefiore. So those people who lived in Montefiore, who wanted to spend Shabbos in Tel Aviv, they would have to make an Erev Tchumen in order to be able to go into Tel Aviv. And if you drew a ribua at that point in time, he has all kinds of nice diagrams. If you drew a ribua around Tel Aviv at that point in time, the ribua included part of Montefiore. So despite the fact that the ribua included part of Montefiore, he told the people who lived in Montefiore that they were still obligated to make an Erev Tchumen if they wanted to spend Shabbos in Tel Aviv. So, halach ha'iseh, according to those who say that this is the din of Tchumen, and we have really no rias, because you could say even the Rashi and the Torah were only talking about Tchumen, and this appears to be Pashup Shat also in the Me'iri, even if somebody was within the ribua of one city, we would say that only works for the ribua of city A over here, the large amoeba city, that somebody who started Shabbos over here could walk over there. That would be like somebody from Riverdale walking to Washington Heights. But even if you're from Washington Heights, you couldn't walk to, you wouldn't be able to walk to Riverdale, even though you start the Shabbos within the same ribua, if indeed you're starting the Shabbos within the same ribua. But you know, this would be the case in other similar situations as well, such as the Skokie situation. You started Shabbos in Skokie Yeshiva, so you wouldn't be able to walk over here according to that Shita, but you would be able to walk if you started the Shabbos in West Rogers Park to Skokie Yeshiva. If you hold that it is a din of Shavisa, so then as long as you are you're over here, you'll be able to walk over there and vice versa, but if you're over here, you wouldn't be able to. If you understand that it's considered like the city itself, then even if you were over here outside of the Ribua in the second city, but the second city overlapped in its Ribua with the first city, you'd be able to go back and forth. And not only that, even if the two cities didn't touch each other altogether, but were within 140 amos from each other, 141 amos from each other, you'd be alike in the case of Newcastle and Gateshead, like the Maxel Eliyahu says, you'd be able to walk from one to the other. How should you paskin? So follow your local posek. Rav Shechter holds that one should be machmir about this issue, even ad kedei kach of the first shita, namely that if you start over here, you can go to there, but if you go start from here, you don't go to there. That's the way I understand Rav Shechter. And I think others are mako, but certainly there are very eminent poskim to rely upon on both sides. Do we say halakha k'divrei mako ba'avil? Well, no, you always follow your Rebbe. If you don't have, you know, your Rebbe doesn't have a particular shita, and one's just trying to be machria, so that's a separate discussion whether halacha gedibrei mecha ba'avil applies only to panayim, amoraim, applies to achronim. That's a separate discussion. Many hold that could apply even to contemporary poskim, but those are the issues. Just to try to lay it out, explain some of the basic shita, some of the basic makoros. There's more to discuss, and more shitos, svaros of this way and that way, but I think that's the main essence of the sugya. I'll just end with Divrei Agadata, that you know, when it comes to plan to get Moshe, but I just thought it's the last kabur for this year that I'm giving, first and last for this year. So the Medrash says on the pasuk that Avram followed the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so that he followed Kol HaTorah Kula. So Gemara Yuma says he followed Kol HaTorah Kula. So the Medrash says, what does it mean Kol HaTorah Kula? Afilo Erev Tavshilin. Even the Erev Tavshilin. So everybody asks, Afilo Erev Tavshilin? He says, yeah, something special about Yontav and Amuna. Different answers are given as to what the special nature of Erev Tavshilin is. So the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says there was a typo in the Midrashim. They saw Ayin Tav, and they thought it was Erev Tavshilin. Really, it means Erev Tchumen, that Avraham fulfilled all the mitzvahs of the Torah. Machlokes, whether Erev Tchumen is deraisa to Rabbanu, Bikiva holds it's Tchumen are deraisa. We paskin that Tchumen are Rabbanu. First, the whole like the riff, Avraham Yud Beis Mil is deraisa, the Mahal's even Yud Beis Mil is Rabbanu. Okay, so but the point is, he may have found things even through the words Rabbanu. Erev Tchumen certainly is an innovation. The Chachamim came out with Erev Tchumen. So, so that's the Chiddush. That Avraham observed even Eretz Chumen. And how do I know that it's talking about Eretz Chumen? So I know that, says the Gemara, because it's derived. Why would I come up with this mitzvah more than any other mitzvah of the Torah? Because it's derived from the word Ekev. Ekev means heel. I'm walking. So that's why it must be talking about Chumen. Talking about Eretz Chumen. Talking about something with Ekev. Something that you that you do with your foot. So what's like, you know, one of the major milos of Eretz Tchumen? So you look in the Shulchan Aruch. So Shulchan Aruch Paskins, this is one of the major halachos with respect to Eretz Tchumen. That Eretz Tchumen is something which we only allow if what? If you're doing it for purposes of a mitzvah, right? That's in Simen Tafa Tesvav. That we only allow if you're making this, that you're going to extend the area where you're going to walk on Shabbos or Beis Mishteh or Lahakbel Pnei Rabo, or the Ramah adds that you're going to go on a tiyul, but it will be like a simcha, you're going to tiyul with your wife, whatever, you know, something which is yantudik in the spirit of yantiv. It's a spirit of something which is a real mitzvah. So only under those circumstances do we employ Eretz Chumen. So what is sort of the undercurrent of this entire discussion? So the undercurrent of this entire discussion is trying to understand a person's boundaries. That on Shabbos and Yantiv, it's a time in which a person is steeped in Kedusha. That's, you know, part of the idea of Ayetzi Yishmim Koma Miyam HaShvi. So we derive Hotzah from that, Ayotzi Yishmim Koma. We also derive Tchumen, Ayetzi Yishmim Koma, from their immediate domain. Both principles are really derived from this pasuk, that a person has a special spiritual domain in which they're supposed to remain on Shabbos and Yantim, and it should remind them about the domain that they should be occupying for the rest of the week, the rest of their life as well. So therefore, we're very, very careful that in terms of defining how far do you go, a person has to be very circumspect in terms of branching out, in terms of blazing new horizons, to make sure that everything is in the right spirit of Kedusha, that there's one standard with respect to defining Yibur Shalir. There's another standard with respect to Yibur Shalir. There we're even more circumspect. Maybe it's only a din of Tchumen, and maybe it's only a din of Shvisa, maybe it's not a din of conjoining to two cities Mamish, because the more that we get out of our comfort zone, the more circumspect we have to be about extending our boundaries. That's the idea, that even if one is going to say, okay, I'm going to surmount all of these built-in boundaries, and I'm going to go beyond by making an Erev Tchumen, so even then, it has to be L'tzorach Mitzvah, that a person has to calculate very, very carefully, like Avraham Avinu, that when was it Lech Lecha? When did he decide to travel and go out? This one, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him Lech Lecha, that all of his steps were very, very carefully calculated in order that he maintain his spiritual integrity. And this is something that we should learn from the Union of Arabian in general. Okay, we'll stop here. That's what Okay. Yeah, Muslim.